Well, we're going to talk this morning about kingdom economics, and of course economics is a topic and a subject that's on everybody's mind these days, and of course with the stimulus bill just being passed recently in the Congress of the United States, and tax time coming up, and people being laid off of their jobs, and people being anxious about where their paycheck is going to come from, and if it's going to come, and all of these different issues, I think kingdom economics are a pertinent topic for this day. And one of the things that we need to get into our thinking and into our understanding is that God's economy is not like the world's economy. God says, I own all the gold and the silver. So if God owns all of the gold and the silver, and you're a child of God, that means you have access to all the gold and the silver, does it not? It means God's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you a supernatural revelation, and he's going to give you the ability to make decisions that will benefit you and benefit the family that you're taking care of, or the people that you're taking care of, or if you're just taking care of yourself, it will be a benefit to you. But what primarily God wants you to understand is that he is taking care of you. And he tells us in Matthew 6 that if we seek him first in his kingdom and his righteousness, in Matthew 6:33, if we seek him first in his kingdom and his righteousness, that all the things that we desire shall be added unto us. And prior to that verse, he says that look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil and they don't spin. In other words, they're not out working hard for their beauty and for their sustenance, and yet God takes care of them. And the same for the sparrows. Is if he cares as much about a little sparrow as you know that he does, well, just think how much he cares about you. And so God says, be anxious, not for the things that you need. Don't be anxious about the clothes that you wear, or the food that you need to eat, or the shelters that you have. And that doesn't mean we're supposed to lay around and watch TV all day and not get out and make some money to pay the bills. God isn't going to go that far for us. But the point is here, brothers and sisters, be anxious for nothing. Paul says in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving make your requests known unto the Lord. And so if you are catching yourself watching the dreadful nightly news a lot and getting more depressed and listening to the news on the radio and just getting more depressed and more down and can't see any hope and no light at the end of the tunnel, and maybe you are one that has lost your job, maybe you are one that your business is really slowing down, or you're threatened with a cutoff of your paycheck, or threatened with a cutoff of your job, why, take heart, because God knows your plight. He knows the situation that you're in. He knows that you need food. He knows that you need shelter. He knows that you need clothing. And so he will provide for you. You just have to trust that he will, because he says that he will. And he says, if you seek me first in my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things should be added unto you. In other words, the things that you need, the things that you desire. And God knows what your desire is. He knows what the desires of your heart is. He says in Psalm 37:4, he says, if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. And so God's economy is not like the world's economy. And so we needn't think that we have to work 18 hours a day. We needn't think that we have to, you know, manufacture counterfeit money back there in our bedroom somewhere, or do things illegally to try to make ends meet. God just wants you to worship him. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to stay faithful with the little things that he has given you. Don't waste the little things that he's given you. Stay faithful in the little things, and as you take care of the little things in the kingdom, as God gives you the little things to take care of, if you are faithful in your stewardship of those little things, then God will give you more. He will trust you with more. And as he trusts you with more, situation where the parable of the 10 talents, of the person that he gave the 10 talents to, he went and he invested those talents in kingdom activities, and he went and invested those talents wisely, and God gave him many cities to rule over and many other responsibilities and blessings to take care of. And God will bless you, and he will return for you 30, 60, and 100-fold. If you plant that seed and that talent in good soil, he will return to you 30, 60, and 100-fold that which you have planted. Well, as we look at tithing, this is a subject that many people, I suppose, get uptight about. And they say, well, God doesn't have any right to my money. I need all the money I can get for my children, for my family, for, you know, my car payment, my house payment, and all this stuff. And yet God's economy is predicated and is built on the fact that we understand that God owns everything, that what we have is just on loan to us, that we're just stewards of the things God has given us, whether it's our business, whether it's our farm, whether it's our money, our resources, whatever it is that we have. Maybe it's just talent that you have. Maybe you don't own anything, but you have talent. Whatever it is that you have, God has given it to you, brothers and sisters. We need to understand that whatever God has given to us, it's just a loan for this little period of time we're here on this earth, and we're stewards over whatever He has given us. We're stewards over the talent that He's given us. Maybe you're a good musician. Maybe you can type really well, or many other types of activities and assets that you have. Whatever that you have, be thankful for them. Give God praise for them, because you could be a quadriplegic. You could be some person that has nothing. You could be some person that was born in India into the untouchable caste and not be able to advance in life at all, or not be able to go up in life. And so whatever you have here in this great nation of America, which is just a total blessing in itself to be here in this country and to be able to work in the jobs that we want, to be able to go to school and better ourselves and have freedom to pick up and move. You want to move to another city? You can do that here in America. You want to start a business? Go find you a building and start a business. You want to buy a farm? Go buy a farm. See how good you do at planting and growing crops. But whatever we have here in America, God has given us, and He has blessed this great nation, because this nation was founded on principles of God's word. This nation was founded by people who believed in God, and people who revered God, and people who worshiped Him. And don't ever let anybody tell you that it wasn't. There's miles and miles and reams of evidence stacked high that show that the people that founded this nation were people that loved the Lord God, and they wrote it in all their documents. They wrote it in their last will and testaments. They wrote it in everything that they wrote, and it's inscribed all over everything where they wrote down the things that were meaningful to them, that how much they loved God, that all in this earth were created equal and have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, as we think about tithing and giving back part of what God has entrusted us with, we open up here in Genesis 14, and here's a situation where Abraham has been out to war, and he has gone to rescue his nephew Lot, and he's gone to rescue all that Lot has, and the people that were with Lot, and their possessions, their wives, their children. And Abraham goes out, and he goes to rescue them from kings who have taken Lot and all of his family possession. And verse, pick up here in 17th verse, chapter 14. Then after his return from the, speaking of Abraham here, then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shavah, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, that is Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal among anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Well, let's look at that scripture a little bit and just understand that Abram had just been given victory over these kings. God gave him the power to get victory. God gave him victory over these kings, and he went and he brought back Lot, and he brought back his family, and he brought back all his possessions. And so the spoils, rightfully so, went to Abram. The spoils rightfully went to the victor of the battle, and that was Abram. And yet Abram took nothing for himself. He wanted to keep nothing for himself. He says, I will not take a thread or a sandal or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. But he did give to the priest of Salem, who came out to meet him and brought him bread and wine to celebrate the victory. He did bring him and give him a tenth of all, and he gave it to Melchizedek without Melchizedek asking him for anything, without Melchizedek reminding him that he should maybe give something, or no prompting of any time. Abram just felt like he wanted to bless Melchizedek the priest, because he was thankful and he was appreciative of the fact that God had given him victory. And we need to look at this passage of scripture and understand that when we have wealth, as God has given us the ability to make wealth in this great nation and in this city, God has given us the ability to make wealth. He tells us in Deuteronomy 8, lest you become proud, lest you think that it's your ability, lest you think that you, for some reason, are something really special, unless you think that I am nothing and you are everything. God says, I gave you the ability to make wealth. And he told this to the Israelites as he prepared them to go into the promised land. They were going into the promised land, and he said, you're going to find wells there that have already been dug and flowing with sweet water, and you're going to find orchards that have already been planted and hanging with pomegranates and with grapevines. And he said, you're going to find fields there that have already had the rocks taken out, and they're ready to plant, and they're fertile fields, and they're full of fertility. And he said, and when you get your crops harvested, and when your flocks start to multiply, and your herds become big, and your families are prosperous, and you're sitting around in your houses, and you think that you've done all this stuff for yourself, and you start to congratulate yourself for what a great job you've done, God says, beware and be careful, because I have given you the power to make wealth. I have given you the ability to make wealth. And when you start to get too proud, brothers and sisters, about who you are and your slick talk or your salesmanship or whatever it is that you think you're really good at, when you start to give yourself all the credit and none to God, God says, I have a little suggestion that you give me the praise and you give me the honor and you give me the glory. And when you don't do that, God will bring a correction into your life, brothers and sisters. When you don't give God the praise for what you have and stay humble to him and thank him for what he has given you, when you get too proud about who you are and what you're doing, then God will bring a correction into your life, and it will be very painful for you. And so that is one of the things God is doing to this nation. This nation has been a nation that has been blessed with so many riches. This nation has been blessed with the abundance that is just, when you travel to places and other places in the world where there's so many poor people and many people have no food to eat and just very sparse clothing and small tiny houses, you understand the blessings, the material blessings and the richness and the vast resources here that we have in America. And God is bringing correction to this nation, not just to people individually, but he's bringing correction to this nation. This economic slowdown, this economic squeeze and downturn is not just about dollars and cents. It's not just about housing collapse and financial bailouts. This is also about a correction spiritually for this nation. God is bringing judgment on this nation. He is bringing judgment because we have forgotten God, because we think we can handle every situation without God, because we think we gave ourselves the ability to make wealth and we work and not pay tribute to God on Sunday morning. We don't go to the fellowship. We don't worship God and praise him. We just think, okay, Sunday's another day to make some more bucks or go play at the lake or play at the golf course or play at the racetrack. And God is saying, America, it's time to wake up. God is saying, it is I who gave you this great nation. It is I who gave you the power to make wealth. It is I who blessed you. And because of that, God says, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming because there needs to be a correction in your life, and there needs to be a correction in the life of this great nation. Well, I'm going to turn over to Malachi 3. And of course, this is a famous passage of scripture referring to tithing. And I would insert here, if you don't have a fellowship in which to offer a tithe, well, number one, get in a fellowship. I think being in a fellowship is more important than ever before, as the danger of being isolated out there by yourself becomes even more evident in these end days, the danger of being by yourself and trying to withstand the onslaughts and the arrows of Satan by yourself. And of course, Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews that we're not to forsake the assembling of the saints, and even so much more so as the end days draw near, that we are to encourage each other, strengthen each other, admonish each other, pray for each other. And so if you're not in a fellowship, find a church that you can be in a fellowship with and just get out there and jump in one. And if it's a good Bible-believing church, if they pull that Bible out and study from it and preach from it and pray from it, why, you know that's a good church to be in. And I would just encourage everyone to get in a church. And if you don't have a church fellowship, why, pick a ministry, this ministry or any other, to tithe to. Just start tithing. Get in a habit of tithing and giving God what is His, giving back to God what He rightfully deserves, what He rightfully asks for. And of course, I'm going to read from this scripture in Malachi 3, which is an important passage of scripture on tithing. And it would do everybody to look at the scripture, read it every so often, just to remind yourself that God is the source of all that we have. He is the source of all our wealth. And that when we give back to Him that which is rightly His, why, He will bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. Verse 7 in Malachi 3, "For the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Well, if we look back on America, as we look at our history and just think about maybe this town, just ponder this town here as it was 40, 50 years ago, as I was a young man growing up in this town, just about every family had a good, solid house to live in. The mothers were at home with their children for the most part. There was a few mothers probably that had to work out to take care of the family or make the ends meet for their family, but most mothers were at home taking care of their children. The fathers all had good jobs. They, for the most part, weren't wealthy people, and for the most part, probably didn't want to be, a lot of them. But people had good jobs, and they were able to pay their bills, and God blessed this town. And yet, as we look back here on the history, slowly things have eroded. God has been taken out of schools. God has been taken out of the public square to a large degree. God has been removed from His preeminence and His importance in the lives of people here in America. And so, just as God was speaking to Malachi and telling the Israelites, He said, your whole nation has robbed me. He said, return to me, God says, and I will return to you. But you say, how shall we return? And will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And so, as you can imagine, many, many people aren't giving anything to God. Many people aren't in the fellowship, and so they feel no obligation to give to God. Many people are not in the fellowship, and so they feel no connection to the body of Christ. They feel no connection to be in the body of Christ, where they can participate in things like tithing and participate in things like mission work or communion or even corporate singing and fellowship singing and fellowship of prayer and all of these things. And God is saying, come back to me. Will you return to me this day? Come back to me, God is saying. Will you return? He's saying, give unto me that which is rightfully mine. And when you tithe, you're tapping into an economy that is so much greater than the American economy or Swiss bank accounts or whatever man has contrived and tried to think up to make himself rich and hang on to his wealth and hang on to his riches. God is saying, when you tap into my economy, I'm going to bless you in ways. I'm going to pour out my blessing. I'm going to throw up the windows of heaven, and I'm going to open them up, and I'm going to pour out for you a blessing so great that you won't even be able to hold it all. And I will rebuke the devourer for you. In other words, that which you get, you're going to be able to keep, and you're going to be able to multiply. And God says, if you will stop robbing me and just give unto me that which is rightfully mine, God says, I will bless you in ways, and you won't even be able to hold it all. Well, that sounds pretty good to me, brothers and sisters. That sounds good to me, to be blessed in a way that I can't even hold it all. There's times when even those who are Christians are going to be put to the test financially and in every other way. You're going to be put to test. Can you trust God? Can you give up that which is His and ask Him to take care of you in ways that you can't even see right before your eyes? And God says, I will take care of you. I will take care of you if you stop robbing me. Well, I want you to ponder on this message, contemplate it. Just think about getting into God's economy, getting into the kingdom wealth, tapping into the kingdom blessings, and God will bless you and He will keep you. Well, that's going to be it for this week. We'll continue on talking about kingdom economics next week. Thanks for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week.